Here we go. It's Abs in a Six Pack, episode 238 with Jimmy! And this is a new live son of a bitch.
This is a new live son of a bitch.
I can do this voice. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be live here for the next 2 hours.
Abs in a Six Pack!
Abs in a Six Pack is not the greatest podcast in the world.
I know Abs in a Six Pack is a bad show, but what else do you have going on?
Oh, Jimmy, thank you for coming back, dude. I had a lot of fun last time.
No, me too. I always love hanging out with you and being on this podcast. It's nice. It really help brighten my mood when I heard that come through the TTS when I was depressed after the bread incident. Yeah. I was cleaning vomit off of the gym mats.
Oh yeah, I guess I should have had that drop ready, but whatever. I did it. Yeah, the what the hell is shitmyass.com. I think that all the time and it's my website.
What the hell is shitmyass.com?
Well, yeah, dude, I have a good amount of material I think we both do to talk about, and some of it's going to be of the heavier subject matter, so I'm going to try to throw in color commentary and goofiness when I can. I also, I have bad news right off the bat, actually.
Oh.
Those DVDs that you sent me, the sex ed, one taking your oral pleasure to the next game, and the other one exploring your boundaries with your sexual partner. Looks like some kind of it's a two-part Christian DVDs. I think they're CD-ROMs because I can't get them to work in any DVD or CD player. So I got to get my external drive to try them. So I know I said I would have watched them by now, but I haven't.
Oh, it's fine. If anything, the anticipation's just going up and up because I have no clue what the fuck's on them.
They must be CD-ROMs because they're not scratch discs or anything. They're in good condition. I can't use them, but I did make sure the Girls Gone Wild one does work.
Okay, thank God.
Yeah, I didn't make it very far into that one, but you're right; it's a time capsule of frat culture.
Oh yeah, no, it's like it's weird. I just really like just the intro parts because it's like, yeah, okay, so see this like old school party culture of the early 2000s. This is why I want to bring back.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, my first introduction to that was actually Arrested Development, the girls with low self-esteem. I don't know if you remember that in the show.
I just remember as a kid, like when I was kind of first allowed to stay up late to watch TV, you'd see like the ads for Girls Gone Wild uncensored, and they'd just come on like really late, and you'd just be like, huh, neat.
Yeah, I don't know, a lot of that stuff's kind of depressing to me. But, you know, I watch porn on and off again. I guess that should be just as depressing to me.
Oh,
right?
No doubt. It's like a very depressing type deal. But,
yeah.
Hey-ho.
Not to call you out or anything, do you mind muting your notifications for me? It makes the editing process a lot easier.
Oh, hey, no sweat, man.
Sweet, sweet. I have... Well, you know what? Before we dive into too much, What's been going on with you? I think it's been 2 months since we last spoke, at least on the show. What have you been up to? I know you're shotgunning beers and eating rotisserie chickens and playing Pikmin. Is that what it's called, Pikmin?
Yep. I beat Pikmin 2. Now I'm on to Twilight Princess, where we named Link my nigga and Epona my dick, and hilarity ensues. I've had like mild bad luck. I learned the hard way that for future long streams and overnight streams, I gotta like split it in half. So I'll go for like 4.5 to 5 hours, then stop and restart the stream. This way, if there's any like ultra copyrighted songs, which I've been taking notes of, which ones YouTube really doesn't like, then I'm able to just like get YouTube to automatically clip them out. Because when you hit the 6 hour, 7 hour mark, then the automatic editing that YouTube offers doesn't work.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm so out of the game with YouTube. I haven't been uploading YouTube videos in 10 years, so. But I just completely. I have a question about Pikmin himself, or Olimar. That's his name, right? The main guy?
Yeah.
I can't figure out how to use him on Super Smash Brothers, Smash Ultimate, whatever. And so I've read the directions on what his moves are, and I still don't understand.
So it seems that each Pikmin has its own different thing. I can't use Olimar either for Super Smash Brothers. Like, he was good in Brawl, but he's really difficult to understand. But like the red Pikmin are fire, blue Pikmin would have water, I would imagine. Yellow is electricity. I'm not sure what Pikmin he's using now in the newer Super Smash Brothers. But I know that, like, you know, Pikmin 3, that introduced, like, the flying Pikmin and the rock Pikmin. So I'm not sure if they swapped them out or what.
I'll have to. I never played any of the Pikmin games. But they're horrifying.
Well, I mean. So in the Pikmin game, it's a lot easier than how they coded him in Smash Brothers. He's a bit like Duck Hunt in that sense, where very confusing moves and very. It takes a while to learn how to do good setups, but I mean, shoot, like, you see pro players who know how to use them, like, they're really, really fucking good.
Oh, you're still talking about on Smash then, with Duck Hunt?
Yeah.
Okay, because
in the game, it's just like each color just means like what the Pikmin's immune to. Although in the first one, there was no electricity, so the yellow Pikmin, you could just throw them super high and then use them to pick up these bombs and throw them at walls or throw them at enemies.
When I was watching your Pikmin stream, I mentioned Croc, Legend of the Gobos in chat, and you said you played the first one. Dude, that was my favorite game as a kid. I played the shit out of that. I got all the crystals so that you unlock the Crystal Island. I love the soundtrack for it. It's so good.
Got me too. I know that, I don't know if it was because, so I know that some PlayStation 1 games, you can play them on the PlayStation 2, but you can't save them. I think that Croc is one of them, because, for example, I have the Rugrats Search for Reptar on PlayStation 1, because I grew up with the computer game version of that, and that game you cannot save, like, it won't save onto my memory card. I also have Frogger 2. That's a really, really fun game. That has my favorite soundtrack. Other than the streams, I've gotten a decent bit of Hoarder Man's Crew together. We've been doing a lot of cutting, getting a lot of stuff done. We cleared out a lot of trees, and I'm finally convincing Hoarder Man to get a burn permit so we can just burn, like, you know, safely. We can just burn a lot of brush in, like, a controlled fire environment.
Is the first part of the Hoarder Man documentary out? I saw something about
it. Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet. So that's being done by Richie99. And of course, I'm just kind of like recording like each vlog to show people updates. I actually have a new vlog that I got slapped together. It's just to show that, you know, like, we cleared a big area on this big hill behind his house. Because, you know, if you're going to have a fire, you certainly don't want it to be around all the dead knotwood or, you know, that Japanese bamboo shit that you see all over the place.
Right. Yeah, we have a bunch of that in Tennessee.
Oh, yeah. And that shit's been a fucking pain. That's shooting back up. It's already over a foot again.
Do you guys got to deal with kudzu where you're at?
What's kudzu?
Holy shit, man. Let me tell you about kudzu. They were talking about on it behind the schemes on there a couple weeks ago, but it's all over Tennessee, dude. It's a invasive species from Japan, and it covers everything. I think it grows like 2 feet a day or something. But there's whole patches of Tennessee. Yeah, it's like a vine. There's whole patches of Tennessee where it's covered buildings, light posts, the whole forest. It'll cover over a tree and cover all the tree's ability to get sunlight and do photosynthesis and all that. It'll cover billboards. And it grows like 2 or 3 feet a day, if I'm not mistaken. It's the bane of it. It's taken over Tennessee, and there's no way to really fight it because it grows so fast, and some retard brought it over from Japan, and it's just taken over.
Honestly, I'm going to tell you this because, so you know, like the CCP, they're engaged in unrestricted warfare. So like they'll just deliberately bring invasive species to like other countries. And they'll also like, you know, they'll outfish them.
China.
Yeah. But so I'm positive that a lot of the invasive species that come over from either Japan or China, that's almost always deliberate, and it's guaranteed to be China, because think about it, Japan's right next door, you know?
I wouldn't not put that it past hard. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, they're really sneaky.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that completely makes sense. I think we've also probably done that to other countries.
Well, not
you and I, but
yeah. Well, I mean, not necessarily deliberately. There was that one government experiment where they tried to weaponize Lyme disease, but that fucked up because the dumbasses dropped it in a. I think they dropped it down south, and that's why the southern United States has Lyme disease now. That was in the 1900s. Because Lyme disease used to just be in, like, Connecticut, Northeast area thing. And now it's, like, all along the East Coast.
So you'd think that was a Fort Detrick thing or a natural disease?
No, that was government fuck-up, similar to how they accidentally dropped that nuke on us, but thank God it wasn't primed to explode, so it just fell and didn't explode.
Well, some of them, I think, are intentional. Like, you go back and watch the old, I don't know if it's DARPA or whatever, videos, pharmaceutical videos where they're talking about that we have ways to give people meat allergies, and then bam, a decade later, now there's this tick that gives people meat allergies. Oh, yeah. That happens. Honestly, to come out of a government lab intentionally. That's not one of those things they accidentally release, I
wouldn't think. Yeah, you know, that one I'm willing to agree with you. That one was no doubt intentional, because now they're trying to claim like, oh yeah, well actually it's red meat and being a farmer that's destroying the environment, when it's like, no, it's fucking not, you jackass. Do you realize how much of nature relies on human beings to like farm and like take care of plants and fucking raise cows and chickens?
So if it wasn't for us, this place would be a madhouse.
Pretty much. Like, people don't realize that if we were to go extinct, all of nature would just be fucked. We're the only species that really conserve species that we notice going endangered. And just all the mice and rats have followed us since the dawn of time. And with it came the cats, dogs, of course, they're man's best friend, cows, chickens, and again, just there's a lot of animals like raccoons, bottom feeders, just scavengers in general that rely on human beings.
Yeah, like, they've evolved alongside of us.
One sad one that we kind of just ditched, and it's really fucked up because so I think it's messenger pigeons or homing pigeons, but even though they're endangered now, if they're not quote unquote allowed in a certain state, they'll make you kill them all. And it's like, wait, aren't these endangered?
Yeah. Bureaucracy. It always fucks things up.
Yeah. It's like all the, environmentalist nut cases where when's the last time I've ever heard them say, oh yeah, hey, let's get rid of these invasive species that have plagued America. Let's take things like the elm tree and breed it, so that way they're all immune to, Dutch elm disease. Let's bring back American hardwood by cloning the surviving trees and making them immune to the viruses that came from Europe that killed them all. Because, I mean, I can't remember what... There was a mass extinction event of hardwood trees along the south in the 1800s. Tumbleweeds, they're actually invasive. They come from Russia.
Dude, the Ruskies were sending tumbleweeds our way back in the old Western movies that goes that far back?
Mm-hmm.
They were using boats then for that. That's great.
Well, I mean, yeah, that one was probably an accident. It was just probably just some Russian who came up, but it's again a case of like tumbleweeds have no natural predators, and they were just thrived. And it's like, again, like none of these pseudo environmentalists ever bothered to come out of the woodwork to say, hey, wait, we have the technology now to actually fix and get rid of all these different invasive species that have been plaguing American forests so we can like get our nature kind of back on track. It's all a hoax. None of them care.
I don't know if I could find it on the fly, but I had a bunch of climate related clips where it's just guy after guy pointing, just going down the list of why the environmental movement is disingenuous bullshit, because they don't like to talk about, they say the warmest, it's the warmest year on record, but they don't count fossil records. They don't take the sun into account.
They don't take the fact that it's been proven. Now, obviously, I'm no tree hugger, but it's like, you know, I don't like seeing, which is ironically the environmentalists, I don't like them seeing them tear up the farmlands and forests to build shit plastic walled housing developments, which all the Californians are doing, by the way, to every place they move to.
Yeah.
They just destroy nature, then build some tacky ass fucking house, treat their neighbors like shit, and then bitch about the environment. And it's like, you just destroyed the environment. What the fuck are you on?
I'm not happy with the... Do you think the end goal that they're pushing for with the climate lockdowns and 15-minute cities, do you think that's going to actually successfully happen in our lifetime in a meaningful way?
It'll happen over my dead fucking body. I'm going to tell you that much.
There you go.
That should happen, and that's... I'm positive that's what the silent majority of the rest of this country is going to say as well. Because, I mean, everyone's sick of it. Even people that were on board with it have finally woken up and realized, wow, wait, none of these people actually care, and they've just been making shit so much worse for everyone.
Yeah, Tennessee passed a bill to outlaw chemtrails, and they're still spraying us like bugs over here. I don't know what's going on. Bill Gates blocking out the sun and all that shit.
Bill Gates needs to get his ass beat and just an atomic wedgie at this point, because it's like he's taking his anger out on us because in the 90s he was trust busted. Like, I shit you not, like that's when he started like all the fucked up vaccine experiments and everything. It's like, wow, you've just really proven yourself to be just an absolute parasite.
That whole thing,
it's
when he
funny
was...
too. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna say that whole trial, he's rocking back and forth like just. You can't see what I'm doing, but he's just rocking back and forth for hours and hours and hours with his arms crossed.
Yeah.
Saying, I don't know.
Yeah, and it's also just like, it's funny that all these jerk-offs, so for the Black Lives Matter riots of 2020, right, I knew so fucking many spoiled Jewish kids that were part of that. And I shit you not, they did it just to, like, forward their rap careers and shit like that. like, I wish I was joking, but I'm not. And there's
one. When you say Jewish rap, rappers, do you mean Drake?
No, I mean Dickie? Some of... No,
I'm just kidding.
These are no-name people. I ain't even going to mention their name because they don't even deserve the clout. But it's like, I kept saying, it's like, you do realize that these people are going to turn on the Jews, like, if they're going to be going around white privilege. They're not going to consider you to be your own race. They're already, like, circle-jerking to the Nation of Islam and the Black Israelites. They're going to go after you, and it was just, you know, the usual, like, oh, you don't know what you're talking about, and, you know, most of these kids are just the same type of brats that you see railing Xanax all the time, then blaming everyone else for their addiction. And it's just funny, because everything I fucking warned them about has now come true. And it's just hilarious to me, because it's like, bro, I fucking told you so.
Yeah, they're going to be drinking the shit water for sure.
It was all poop water.
Yeah. Gonna be drinking the shit water, and then, well, they're gonna be on the receiving end of the riots. They were oh so happy to help out. That's gonna be hilarious, because I mean, for fuck's sake, it's an election year. As depressing as it is, we're guaranteed to have riots again, because that's the new pattern. Every election year, there's some sort of new riot, and you know, the commie rioters are just allowed to do whatever the fuck they want.
This year, it's the well, for now. In this election year, it's the Israel-Palestine protests.
Well, no, but the Palestine rioters are also just chanting death to America. They're the same communist riders from 2020. They're just switching like a different claim for why
they have
they're
new
riding.
Marching orders. Right, right.
And the counter protesters are still part of like Antifa and whatnot. They're just like all the Jewish kids that were talking about their fantasies of going away to Israel once they turned 26.
Jew.
Yeah, so that way they didn't have to get conscripted. That was what one brat told me, who would always brag about taking part in the Portland 2020 riots. The fucking principal of the college I went to didn't do anything, and she claimed it was just a difference of political opinion. It's like, you dumb cunt. Ugh.
My favorite thing about this election year is all three major presidential candidates are arguing and fighting over who sucks Israel's dick the hardest.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Even RFK Jr. it's like, oh, great.
I will say it has disappointed me to learn like just how much of the Kennedy family is now like compromised, because you think that with the fact that JFK and Bobby Kennedy were very clearly killed by federal agents,
mm-hmm.
that they would all be like riling behind like getting rid of the corruption in the federal government. But no, like all of them are just sucking off the federal government and just being a bunch of pussies.
The Biden administration had, what was it, like 7-8 members of the Kennedy family all saying that everyone needed to vote for Joe Biden and not RFK Jr. And they even had the gall, a couple members of the Kennedy family in that ad said, I think the closest person living today, the closest thing we have to an RFK is Joe Biden. You're like, we have RFK Jr. You're fucking a relative. What are you talking about?
Yeah. And it's like, if any, like his direct son is going to be more like Bobby Kennedy than
Joe
Biden ever
fucking
could be.
Biden, yeah. Agree with him or disagree with him, but I'm pretty sure the closest thing to RFK we have is RFK Jr.
Yeah, no, on some real shit. Like, it's going to be an interesting one nonetheless. Of course, everyone's kind of realized, oh, I guess people were telling the truth that for decades Joe Biden's been hopelessly corrupt. And we just didn't listen. Now everyone remembers, oh, wait, yeah, he's a motherfucker who passed the crack bill, the 94 crime bill.
Yep.
And, yeah, just fucking destroyed everything he touched.
Yeah, it's going to be, it seems like that Trump's going to get back, be the guy that they put back in there. I think.
Well, as long as this, I was just going to say, as long as this year, all the poll watchers on the conservative side refuse to leave when they get kicked out, because just like last time, they got kicked out, and that's when all the ballot stuffing occurred.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, yeah, hey, guys, yeah, we're closed. We're not counting ballots between 1 a.m. and 3 a.m. Okay, guys, everyone's gone. Let's pull these suitcases out and count these ballots. Oh, look at that. We've rescanned a bunch of the same ballots, and Joe Biden wins. And it's just like,
wah-wah.
Yeah, no, I knew a bunch of cunts I went to school with who don't live in my hometown of Pennsylvania. They just showed up to vote in Pennsylvania. And it's like, that's brazen voter fraud right there. Now, one of them's a spoiled a Zoolander model. whiter than I'll ever be, and I shit you not, looks like a monkey. This bitch is so
mayonnaise fucking
retarded. Lives out in Portland, but, you know, is one of the select few who can afford the ritzy life and always attends the champagne parties and whatnot, and flexes their rented clothes. And it's just like, the only bright side is I know that her daughter's going to grow up, and she's either going to learn the hard way that all the things that she voted for, like, completely fucked up her daughter, or her daughter's going to grow up and realize, wow, my mom's a fucking retard who made my life absolute shit with half the stuff she was supporting.
Rented clothes is a real thing? I thought that was some WEF Klaus Schwab wet dream, because I saw it. The only way I know about it is from the World Economic Forum. It's like, by 2040, people will rent their clothes.
No, like, yeah, this spoiled cunt. And I call her a Zoolander model because her and her friend, both of whom I went to high school with, same grade, they never had to get naked, never had to do any like risque model shoots. It was just the same pose over and over and over again, and they made bank. And then I shit you not, they had the audacity to be like, oh yeah, well, we hate this world for what it did to us. What the fuck are you talking about?
Oh god, like Will Wheaton, dude. That guy is constantly narking and bitching at his parents because, like, they made me act and I don't want to act. I didn't want to act. And then he's doing taking every role he can get on Big Bang Theory and, you know, whatever bullshit. Yeah. It's like, ruined my life making me be an actor. It's like, then why are you still doing it, fag?
Yeah. Or it's like that Indian chick from The Office who, like, is now just deliberately taking any beloved IP and turning it to shit and then crying racism when everyone's like, bro, Mindy Kaling? Shit. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Booberry brought her to Battle of the Douchebags a while back.
Bro, just imagine if she got put into modern day India. She would have a nightmare out there. Just put her in the slum area and it's like you've seen like the god awful videos of Japanese tourists making the mistake of going outside the tourist area and of like if you're a woman in India, like you're gonna get groped nonstop. Like
yeah. Oh, yeah. There's some places
it's gonna be like that, or they're gonna demand to know what part of the caste system she's in, and well, she's gonna be missing America pretty fucking quick. It's the second event that I want to occur. The first one being that LeBron James just gets deported to China. It's like, well, you want to suck the CCP's cock so bad? Here you go. Oh, by the way, they're not really big fans of black people in China.
China.
Anyway, let's get on with it, shall we?
Well,
just because I'm already late.
Yeah, you sent me some. Oh, by the way, I think I found the croc music when you're in the caves. Remember this?
Yes.
I love this. And the snapping. This is just nice. It almost almost sounds like Muse. Like an old Muse song.
Kind of does. I really like the song where, for the first mini boss. Also, give me one sec. I'm just grabbing a drink from my fridge. All this dipping's making me thirsty.
Oh, yeah. Don't drink the dip cup. I've done that before. And it was somebody else's. That was no fun. Croc, first boss music, maybe? Boss feed.
There we go, I'm back.
Is this it?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, this is nice. I love everything about this game. I played it on the PC.
So, yeah, I think that, like, me and my... This is like an old childhood friend. We've fallen apart since then, sadly, because me and him were buddies since kindergarten. But we never got to like the first official boss, which is the ladybug. Like, we'd always get a little bit past here, then die, then start the level all over again.
Because
like we had no fucking clue there are even more bosses beyond the ladybug.
Oh, so you never, when you got older, you never went back and beat the whole game?
Well, it was always at my friend's house, and by the time, I was old enough and got good enough at video games where I could be, it was long gone. But
that's worth getting an emulator and playing, because even after you beat all the, like, there's, like, the grass island and the castle and the snow and the fire, whatever, you know, whatever crap, and then you get all the crystals from all of them, which took some doing. You unlock a crystal island, which is like a variety island with like a giant crystal boss, which I didn't, and this was back when I didn't know that how to look up like tutorials and cheats and stuff, so I was basically achievement hunting for no reason on a PC game as a kid and just stumbled across that, and it was, you know, it's like discovering Atlantis when you're that age when you find something like that.
Last point on this, did you ever use Game Winners as a kid?
No, what's that?
So Game Winners was like, because, you know, like they used to have the cheats in like a book, right? And like online tutorials like IGN, they weren't really a thing yet. That's where you went to Game Winners. And you just look up like how to unlock characters on Super Smash Brothers Melee and shit like that. I remember as a kid, I went there and I've never seen... This could have just been like some made up shit because, you know, there wasn't really like a lot of fact checking for it, like if it was an actual possible glitch. But apparently in the original release of Ocarina of Time, there's a hill you can jump off of. And if you do the right button combination, Link will start playing his sword like an ocarina. Which, I mean, yeah. I could see it. That would have been cool if, like, originally they had intended for the sword itself to be the musical instrument. Apparently it sounds, like, a lot lower than the ocarina.
That's another game I need to go... Now, those games, I don't think I ever beat. I think I might have beaten Majora's Mask because I just... And that one I did have to look up. I was older and I looked up some things I was stuck on. But those...
Oh, no. Majora's Mask is also, like, a tough game. Like, that well, in terms of just figuring shit out. I do kind of wish, though, that we could go back... Well, we probably will go back to those times because the indie market's just absolutely destroying a lot of AAA studios. You can't pull their heads out of their ass, you know?
Animal Well just came out. That's the first game I've been excited for in a while. But, hey, let's... I'm going to play a little teaser. Maybe we'll take like a 5 or 10 minute smoke break. But I'll play a teaser for what we're going to get into for the second half of show. Does that sound good?
Hey, man, that sounds good.
So we're going to talk about Elan. Is that how you say it? And some
Elan Academy, I think. Like I said, it's a good starting point for behavioral modification programs because it's the only one really documented and shut down.
How do you pronounce it again?
Elan Academy.
Yeah, I hear it's not doesn't have very good upkeep. Kind of musky.
Oh yeah, it's been abandoned, and the owner's wife, the guy who created it, his wife and his son have the audacity to actually be filing lawsuits against these victims of this place, insisting, "Oh yeah, these things never happened," despite all this evidence that absolutely happened,
including some of it being on video, a shocking amount too.
Yeah, and I'm hoping that someday the survivors of Elan Academy, and I'm willing to fund this, I hope that they just pay the old lady and her son a visit to be like, so hey, yeah, so if none of this shit happened at your program, then you won't mind if we do it up to you guys, right? Because at that point, it's like, they already owe, like, they should by all means be fucking penniless and have given every cent to every single person who went to that place and came out. Because, yeah, you don't fucking do that to people. Like, Lord knows if you or me were to take people more often than not against their will and do even half the shit that they were doing there, we'd be in prison for life. It's maddening, man.
Undoubtedly. Some of the stuff coming up, it was, once I was going down this rabbit hole, it was flat. I was jaw-dropped by a lot of it. I'll play this just like a little teaser intro clip here from a documentary. This is why one guy got sent to Elon.
Freshman year, I'm trying to think. I put roaches in a girl's purse as a prank.
I thought he was going to say pussy for sure.
In a girl's purse as a prank pre-lunch, so she'd like open them and whatever. The school charged me with assault for that.
Just made me think of this moment right here.
Cheerios are fucking poison, and it really does kind of boil down to like 6 or 7.
Yeah.
It's like 5. Entities that everything is kind of owned by. It's the media is the same way.
Yeah.
And of course they're all fucking friends. It's like, it's not like, whoa, all these people, it's like, no, it's not all these people. It's a couple dozen assholes ruining everything. And they're all friends. And it's like, well, why would everybody play along? Because everybody, it comes from the top. You want to fucking, you want to go off the script? Start your own fucking YouTube channel.
All right. Okay.
So, yeah, don't put any sprays or deodorants or anything on your body. It's fucking, you know, if you're doing that, get some Raid that kill cockroaches. Spray that all over you, too. It's
why?
The same shit.
Oh. And then at least you're keeping roaches away from your
then house. You won't get roach pussy, like someone I know has.
Me?
Guilty conscience? Guilty conscience?
Yeah, so what? I put a roach in my pussy once.
That's the world record podcast with the B-Man and the A-Train. All right, I'm going to do a little podcast recapitation segment, lead it right into a break. You want to recommence sure. here at about 7:25, 7:30, and we'll finish out the last hour of the show if that sounds good.
Hey, brother, that sounds good to me.
All right, it's time for
podcast recapitation.
I've been palling around with the Wasted Memory guys. They do they do two shows. The one on Tuesday is called Wasted Memory, and the one on Friday is Corn Down. And I love the prank calls they do. I was joined in on this one, and this is a little supercut of that. Don't put me on a podcast. We'll be back soon. See you in a bit, Jim.
See ya.
Got that strong radio voice.
Yeah, you're for feedback, you're very bassy. Yeah, you're bassy. For feedback, you're bassy. It's not terrible, but I'd lighten it. But personally, I'd lighten it or the gain, maybe just a touch. But if that's how you like to sound, it's within acceptable range for sure. You're bassy. Oh, but you do like a... Yeah, you sound podcasty because you do a podcast.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah.
You sound like... Is that a bad thing to say to somebody?
No, you sound like a podcast.
Ragtime Miner.
Hello?
Hello.
Hey, yeah, I was down there and someone said I sounded like a podcast, and I wasn't sure if that was, like, if I was supposed to, like do something about that or, like, tell you or call the police or...
What is it?
They said I sounded like a podcast.
Podcast?
Like a, you know, like on the internet.
Like a talk show?
Yeah, they said I sounded like one.
Okay.
Is that, should I?
I mean, is there something wrong with that?
I don't know.
There's nothing wrong with being a podcast or being on a podcast.
They said I sounded like a podcast. Was I supposed to like hit him?
I mean, as if you feel. I mean, I don't think you're going to get anything out of trying to tell anybody about it.
I did shove him, and then he said it again.
Then that would be between y'all two, not us.
I mean, I'm confused, though. Like, that's why I'm calling to make sure. Maybe this is, like, a normal thing here. I'm not from around here, and I was hoping, like, maybe this made sense to you, because it don't make sense to me.
Doesn't make really much sense to me on really both sides of like why anybody would call you that and why it would be a problem.
How would you take it if I walk up in your business there and said you sounded like a podcast?
I'd probably ignore it.
There's nothing? You wouldn't do anything about it?
I mean, there's nothing wrong with sounding like being on a podcast. A lot of informational stuff is on a podcast.
Well, I mean, am I supposed to sound like a podcast? Well, I mean, as long as you think I'm not supposed to, like, do nothing about it or call a sheriff or something.
I think the sheriff will probably not really take you too seriously because, I mean, you sound like a podcast ain't really a, like, threat or nothing like that, if that makes sense. Like, it's not really, like, them saying you, calling you, like, a bad name or nothing like that. Like,
you said go right back up a little bit, just like you said a threat. That's what I was getting at. You're podcasting a threat.
You told me that they called you a podcast.
But you brought up the threat part, and that's what I didn't say anything about a threat, and you're the one that said threat. So see, you made the connection. I did not make the connection.
No. Take one second. You keep going. I'm gonna hang up on you.
They're threatening me with a podcast.
They're threatening to put you on a podcast.
I mean, you went from
being called a podcast to being on a podcast.
Is that like threatening with a podcasting?
They're threatening to put you on a podcast.
Podcast.
He threatened to put me on his podcast.
Yeah.
You guys are threatening to put me on a podcast.
He said he's going to put me on his podcast.
Let me get the woman for you, okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me talk.
One second. Hello?
Hi.
What's going on, honey?
Yeah, so I was up there earlier about 2 hours ago, and the one employee I was talking to, he said he threatened to put me on his podcast.
I want to accuse someone of being a pod man.
Yes, sir.
Hey, yeah, there was a woman that was there. And she was trying to, like, get me on a podcast with her.
Hey, I was up there earlier today, and that lady I was...
There's a woman there when I was there. She was trying to get me on a podcast with her.
I don't know.
Why?
Do what?
I don't know. Threatened to put me on a podcast.
No. The woman was doing it. I didn't want to be on the podcast.
I don't want to go on
the
podcast.
And she kept trying to get me on the podcast.
The lady you just got the phone with.
What am I supposed to do?
Put you on a podcast.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Do you know anything?
Give me a second. Let me do it. No.
Why?
I don't know. I don't know.
What do you know?
I don't know.
What do you know? Do you know anything?
I'm not getting what you, I'm not understanding what you're trying to say, sir. I'm sorry.
I'm going to put you on a podcast.
Don't put me on a podcast.
Why is it, sir?
I ain't got nothing to do with no podcast, bro.
Don't put me on a podcast.
You don't want it. I'm going to put you on a podcast.
I have nothing to do with a podcast, man. I have.
Yeah, that lady threatened to put me on her podcast.
Stay on the phone. Hang on 1 second.
Dude, he's setting up podcasting equipment. He's going to put you in his podcast.
I know what he put on a podcast.
I hear all this rattling and clanking around and shit in the background.
He's putting up equipment.
Who is this I'm talking to?
Yeah, this is John. I'm here at the petting zoo right now. Can you hear me?
Yeah, but what that means?
I'm just telling you where I'm at. I've been walking around this whole place, and I've been trying to talk to some giraffes. Or maybe even, and I haven't found a single one. I was trying to put them on a podcast.
Okay, who are you trying to talk to?
A giraffe.
Are you doing a podcast?
What was her name, man?
I didn't catch her name, but are you doing a podcast now? Is this a podcast?
I ain't doing no podcast.
I think you are.
Ain't no podcast.
Oh, accusing them of being a podcast?
Hell no, I ain't doing no podcast.
I ain't doing no podcast.
Hi, this is Gilbert Gottfried, and I just watched that podcast, Abe and a Six-Pack, and it was the worst. It was the worst shit I've ever watched. It just shows anybody can have a podcast, and even by those standards of anyone having a podcast, this one was shit. It's it's stupid, it's boring, it's a waste of time. And, you know, there are two-year-olds with podcasts that are more worthwhile listening to than that. It's just, don't waste your time. Really, really avoid it like the plague.
Yeah.
1 second, Nectar just arrived.
Nectar.
Gotta feed Nectar.
The kitty.
Ugh.
Let me get you your food, big fat spoiled baby.
And I have returned.
Oh, I like my cat. Oh, I like my cat.
The thing is Nectar isn't even mine. He has an owner. He just fucks off and does whatever.
All right. I'm ready if you are, and we'll get into Elon and some other stuff. Let's do it. All right. I'll just start from the top here. I got a round of clips to go through, and I think just interject whenever you feel is necessary and give your own commentary here. We're going to start with this clip. This is Group, what Group was like at Elon.
Throughout the day, residents function within their departments, only breaking for meals, meetings, a few hours of school at night, and of course, groups.
I remember there was a box at the front of the house and there was a little slip of paper.
Encounter groups.
You couldn't swear at somebody or tell them you hated them unless you were in a general meeting or group therapy.
If you were to make me angry, you told me to do something I didn't want to do, I'd write, you know, to Todd from Gillian, anger. I'd circle that, drop it in a box.
Everybody would sit in a circle in one of the rooms, and then the staff or the director who was running it would say, okay, get your feelings off.
And you would commence to basically cursing each other out one at a time at the top of your fucking lungs.
Get goddamn back to today! Motherfucker! I swear to God, you goddamn pussy!
This is real recordings and stuff, too. Not reenactment.
And that was supposed to be how you dealt with your feelings.
In so-called encounter groups, residents are encouraged to express their hostile feelings. The result is usually a stream of curses and obscenities.
You would yell at the person, swear at them, degrade them.
Cunt.
Whore.
Needle dick.
Fucking slut.
You could say anything you wanted to.
They'd stomp their feet and they'd be going like this. Thumping at the mouth, like grabbing their pants like this, like rocking back and forth.
Some people's seats would be like popping up off the ground.
Screaming at me, like making eye contact, like calling me a bitch and all this stuff. And sometimes it was like for the dumbest reasons too.
Somebody left their tube of shampoo in the shower because they were coming in after me to use it. I had no idea it was right there. I used the Judy's Secret, I did it, and then the guy that went in afterwards, his shampoo was gone. Well, he dropped a slip on me and took me to an encounter group, and he's sitting there screaming at me how he's going to kill me because I took his tube of Judy's Secret shampoo.
That all sounds a little intense to me, just personally.
Yeah.
It should be pointed out that these are, this one in particular, I think, was operative for 40 years, but these things still exist and have for a long time, and they are a big money-making industry.
There's absolutely no, the whole goal is not even for any sort of therapeutic wellness. One of the earliest groups, by the way, their quote unquote therapy is based off of this, 150s cult. And that guy had followed a lot of what they do in North Korea for essentially indoctrination, and just made a cult out of it. That's actually, what the owner of Elon based his quote unquote therapy on. And these were solely made to generate the maximum amount of profit. Because the parents that ship their kids there, they're loaded 9 times out of 10.
Yeah, tuition for these things ran about 50 to 60 grand a year. For a youth correctional. I mean,
shit, the places I was sent to, because I know this because my mom had the my parents had the audacity to yell at me when I fucking escaped. Apparently it was like 400,000 plus, so almost half a fucking million to just set me back mentally to, like, a savage and, like, have me starve half to death. And, like there is no benefit from that.
That seems like a waste of money, but I guess if you got that thrown around money. You mentioned the origins of it. What'd you say? Like, how it started?
For Elon Academy, at least, there was a 50s cult. I can't remember the name of it, but in the main Elon Academy video by NexPro, he mentions it in the beginning.
I might have a clip on that. Let me see if this might be that.
Thank you very much, everybody. Great to hear all of you. Last week, two judges in Pennsylvania pled guilty to taking over $2.5 million in kickbacks for placing over 5,000 teens in private wilderness program and a juvenile detention center. What's shocking here is not just the judge's horrific misconduct, but the fact that the same thing takes place all the time, legally, in the private placements we've just heard about. Like the private prison business, this industry is about making money by locking up children. It is not about helping them. The treatment they sell is abuse.
When I was in college and in high school, I had a drug problem. I became addicted to cocaine and heroin, and I was afraid to get treatment because what I'd read about addiction treatment was that the whole idea was to humiliate and break and attack you. And I thought, that's exactly the opposite of what I need, because the reason I'm using drugs is because I feel uncomfortable and unsafe around other people. And so when I got into recovery eventually, I wanted to understand, where did this idea come from that we should break addicts to fix them?
Throughout the 1960s, many new treatment programs have been launched in and out of government. Perhaps the most publicized is Synanon, a private organization founded and managed by ex-addicts.
Best thing for people is people. And Synanon provides the environment to bring together people from all walks of life.
Synanon was founded by a man named Charles Diedrich, an ex-alcoholic and frequent speaker at Alcoholics Anonymous. It was his answer to the dilemma drug addicts were facing during the early 60s. There was nowhere they could go for help. During that time, drug addiction was seen as much more severe than alcohol addiction. So Diedrich came up with a solution, using the 12 steps made famous in Alcoholics Anonymous, but with a new twist.
He thought that AA wasn't tough enough. He thought that the 12 steps were all well and good, but they really wouldn't work unless you forced people to do them.
At the core of Synanon were group sessions that relied on highly intense confrontation between group members.
Like a little baby.
Really?
I want!
The idea was to break down an addict's defenses to make them reveal their inner, most deepest troubles. Only then would they be able to help themselves towards sobriety. In Synanon, this ideology was known as the game. Today, it's more commonly known as...
Attack therapy is basically the idea that you've developed this horrible, bad personality, and we need to attack you and break you entirely in order to eliminate it and to rebuild you as a good person.
I thought it was so interesting that they referred to it as the game. Have you seen the movie The Game with Sean Penn?
No, I haven't. I have been recommended it.
It's kind of Fish Tank esque, except a lot more life or death. I wonder if I can find the trailer for that.
Nectar, what is it, you big baby? You'll have to forgive Nectar. He's orange and he's very stupid and he doesn't know what he wants half the time.
Oh, I like my cat.
Okay,
Nectar loves belly rubs. You realize how rare it is for a cat to like belly rubs of all things?
That's like a dog thing. I found it. The trailer for The Game.
Skip around. Odie, I don't like her. So what brings you to town, Conrad? Everything all right?
October 12th. Nikki's birthday.
This is for you. Consumer Recreation Services.
Call that number.
Why?
They make your life fun.
So basically this guy shows up to it's his brother or his brother-in-law or something. Gives him a number to call, and he shows up to this place, and without spoiling the ending or anything, which I don't want to spoil it, but at the same time it would give a little more context to why I thought of this, but they simulate, as soon as you call them, they start simulating just a nightmare / adventure that they want you to believe is all real, and there's several layers to that. I don't want to elaborate any further, because if you know how it's going to end, it'll kind of spoil the movie, but The Game. 1997. I'll hit one more clip here. This is that was the group sessions at Elon. This is how privacy went here. Quick 33 seconds.
At Elan, there is no privacy. Incoming mail is open. Outgoing mail is read and censored. Telephone calls are monitored. Every conversation is subject to eavesdropping and informing.
This is like what they tell us North Korea is like.
Yeah. And this is what these places are all like. Certainly 95% to some varying degree.
Yeah, there's the, I think we briefly mentioned it last show you were on, but the, whatever that ranch was that Bahad Bahabi, from Diamond the Catch Me Outside Girl was sent to.
The Dr. Phil ranch.
Yeah. And Dr. Phil's like, well, I don't know what happens there. We just send them there. That ain't my problem.
He also needs his ass whooped up. A lot of these fucking journalists, do-gooder types, need their ass whooped because, you know, we were all fucking taught that, like, you know, oh yeah, places like Pennhurst don't exist. Don't worry. But no, they still fucking do. And they're all over the place. And I've been telling people about this at the top of my lungs. None of these fucking do-gooders care, bro. It's like,
it all comes down to money and power.
And it always drives me nuts, too, because you'll get, I'll still have to fucking deal with all these cocksuckers all the time where it's like, oh, herder, let the fuck go. And it's like, I'm owed a fucking fortune. And it's not even about what they did to me. It's about what they did to my fucking sister that really got me back into like, okay, motherfuckers, now I'm going to pursue you till you're all legally dead. Like, I'm going to find a way to fucking bankroll and fund a massive trial to where the worst perpetrators get the fucking bronze bull treatment in front of all the victims who wish to attend. Like, these people, are just absolutely vile. They need the worst punishment.
I'll tell you, after going down this rabbit hole and watching a couple documentaries and reading some articles and court transcripts, I am fully on board with anything that happens to these assholes.
It just also just drives me nuts because you deal with like retards all the time where it's like they cannot comprehend just how bad things are like this unless you put them through it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Which I gotta say, like some people in this world, they make me that infuriated where it's like, listen, motherfucker, I will happily put you through this for a month and I will have you coming out babbling and like just fucked for life.
As we get further through these clips, I don't think I could have lasted a week in a place like this.
And then was it department head from there? And then it was department head.
A department head was basically when you first became a manager.
Department head of the kitchen crew.
Easy bread.
And then you would go to Shingle. Shingle was the head of the expediters.
So Shingle was like the staff-appointed sheriff, usually somebody that had been in the program for a long time or an employee of the program. But the Shingles, for some reason, they called a sheriff a Shingle.
You had to be careful what you said around everybody because people were encouraged to tattle on each other all the time for every little thing.
1984,
students
anybody?
Would book each other or hold each other accountable for breaking the rules. They would say to the Shingle, I want to book an incident. They'd say, on who? For what?
You get booked for goofing.
You could be walking around with a shoelace that's untied.
Not doing your chore correctly.
Let too many cigarette butts collect in an ashtray.
Because I was the house fatty, I couldn't sit through a meal without being booked by 10 people for eating too much.
This was my favorite. Stealing a pencil. But stealing a pencil isn't stealing a pencil. Stealing a pencil is like a pencil was on the ground and you picked it up and you need to make a fucking announcement on the pencil to let everybody know that you were taking the pencil because you didn't want to take those two extra steps to raise your hand and make an announcement and find out whose fucking pencil it is before you pocket it. You have now committed a crime in the kingdom of Elan.
The Shingle would come up to you if you were booked and say valid or invalid. Your explanation had some weight, but not a whole hell of a lot. You know, the injustice of it was guilty or innocent, you usually got dealt with.
If it's an injustice, deal with it.
Knock!
Sit out there. Come in.
It's shocking to me, too, that they let a documentary, Elon in particular, let a documentary film crew film all this stuff. And I know the worst stuff is not on camera, but there's some stuff on camera where you're like, holy shit.
Yeah, no, a lot of these people are like, delusional, and well, they're in bed with like a lot of really powerful people, especially on Wall Street. And it's like, you know, luckily they're arrogant enough to where if you just fucking pretend and really make it seem like, oh yeah, you think that what they're doing is hunky fucking dory, they'll let you in and just let it all out.
Yeah, it's astonishing because this is criminal. I mean, I'm not a lawyer, but a lot of this stuff that's even on camera is criminal to me, in my estimation.
I was dealt with a lot on a daily basis.
I mean, God, I could knock 20 times a day, 30 times a day.
You say knock, person knocks.
They'd say, who's there? And you'd say, Julie. And they'd say,
come in.
You'd walk in, you'd close the door behind you, and you'd stand in front of four other residents and with your feet shoulder width apart and your hands at your sides.
And they would say, you know why you're standing there?
For stealing a pencil.
Now it's your responsibility! You gotta clean the bathroom this morning, man!
In the jargon of Elan, this is a haircut. The theory is that blowing the most trivial incidents out of proportion with angry shouting will lead the supposed offender to take a closer look at himself.
You gotta make sure things get done!
So I suggest for the next time, you should put my quality on it!
You know, and if you stand there and you react at all, like roll your eyes or yeah, right, whatever, it would just get worse and worse and worse.
No!
At Elan, you succeed and survive if you accept the program. If you don't, there are punishments. They're usually called learning experiences.
You had to make a choice when you came into Elan. You could choose to go through the hard way, or you can choose the motherfucker way.
The motherfucker way.
1 second. Nectar's being a dummy and he wants to be let outside now. I'll be right back in 1 second. But yeah, like, what a lot of people don't fucking realize, and this is going to sound fucked up, but I just know this is going to be happening, no doubt, in the near future, because you can kind of see the signs of it, too. What these places do, in fact, make is, it'll be either you'll get people who are, like, just so depressed and broken for life that they just kind of live in the dredges of society, or you just get flat-out serial killers. Like, I have no doubt in my mind that, which honestly makes a good argument point for, like, actually getting these people tried, but I have no doubt in my life that in the future, a lot of these people, these programs are gonna lash the fuck out, like, either on society or on the programs themselves, and it's not gonna be pretty either way.
Yeah, it's, 'cause, I mean, it's like they're making a recipe for how to create a monster. It's like, let's just take somebody that might have some issues, or a lot of these, as you get further into these documentaries and read some of the court cases, there's so many examples of people that were just mistakenly put in there, and it's like they had no business being in there, a high percentage, that now you've turned somebody, you've just created your next Charles Manson. Good job, retards.
Pretty much, only Charles Manson was backed by the CIA, don't forget that.
Well, yes, that's true, I'll give you
anyway, 1 second while I put this big, silly kitty outside. Come on, you cuddly kitty cat.
I met the best friend I've ever had in my life, a guy named Scott Kitchen. And he had a sign. And I remember exactly what his sign said. I walked in and I looked over, and the whole room had to be quiet because he just walked in and he said, "I'm Scott, the hospital tot. I like to make people laugh a lot. I find it hard to see that I have guilt and it's killing me."
Residents are made to wear signs for days, sometimes weeks, bluntly spelling out their problems and failures.
Is this common practice? Oh.
Bet, I'm back.
Oh, I was going to ask, is the wearing, it's making people wear signs with their purported flaws scribbled across them, is that common?
So the places I went to and that my sister went to, they didn't do that. My sister, I will say, she went to infinitely worse places, and I fucking told my parents that she was going to get driven to suicide, not to send her to Eva Carlson, because for the tapping the phone line shit, they do that at Eva Carlson. So my sister wasn't able to tell my parents how abusive it was, and yeah, sure enough, she killed herself. She was revived, and then my dad got tricked by a Mormon nurse, this is Salt Lake City, to give my sister electroshock therapy and send her to Elevations, a.k.a. Island View, where it was just as abusive. But my dad was like, anytime they fucked up and my sister said anything, my dad threatened to, like, sue the fucking place. Like, they refused to get rid of bed bugs until my dad stepped in and was like, "You motherfuckers are getting rid of these bed bugs or I'm shutting you the fuck down." Yeah, it's a long story. I'd rather not get into, like, the semantics of why my dad decided it was a good idea to, like, send my sister to Elevations, but yeah.
No, it seems...
He does like regret it, like, deeply.
Right, yeah.
I will say that. Like, it's nothing against my dad, it's just...
Well, it seems like these places are more... They're more likely to be like this than not, in just the... spending enough time on forums and stuff where people talk about it.
You would have to stand up every morning at morning meeting and read your sign. "Hickory dickory dock, responsible I am not. I fell asleep like a little sheep, ask me why I'm a dummy." And the house would have to confront you on your sign. "Why are you a dummy?" "Because I fell asleep on night duty."
It was a big piece of white poster board, and, you know, Elan was so nice that they would let you make your own sign. You could even put silly flowers and dogs and cats on it.
"I'm a lunatic. I totally lose control when things don't go my way. That's why I've been in and out of hospitals. Please confront me as to why I have so little self-control that I've become a blob. Please ask me why I continue to goof. I'm a disgusting little coward. If I continue to take everything as a joke, I'm gonna end up dead. All I have in the future to look forward to is getting raped in prison."
I got a sign as a result of the fact that I broke cardinal rules. I was kind of flirting with one of the guys from Elan 3 in classes. the lights had gone out during school, and we held hands for probably about 5 seconds. And they kept telling me that I had guilt, and I had no clue what they were talking about.
Guilt was basically any behavior you engaged in contrary to Elan policy that was not found out that you carried with you.
Elan was very big on making me feel guilty.
Every couple of weeks, they would say, have you copped to your guilt? And when was the last time you copped to your guilt? And you'd write it out on a piece of paper, what you did.
I couldn't figure out if somebody had seen me in the dark touch hands with this other guy for 5 seconds. So I actually copped to that as my guilt.
So not only are they making you wear signs in this instance that are just humiliating in general and personal attacks, but you have to worry about everybody narking on you, including yourself. They play psychological mind games on you to try to get yourself to tattle on yourself.
They did. So they didn't do it to me in like the Utah programs, but the shit private school I went to, the upper level fucking principal was doing shit like that to me. Fucking hated that place.
Yeah.
I want to say they did this.
I didn't experience anything like that, but I just had some weird mind games they would play similar to that at some of the schools I went to as a young kid in Ohio. But no, I mean, nothing like this. I got more signs still.
Kissing someone on the back stairs? You're getting a general meeting.
So I got shut down, I got a general meeting, and I got a sign about ask me why I'm a whore, because I held hands with somebody for about 5 seconds.
I remember this poor girl named Jennifer. She liked a kid, and they put a whore costume on her.
Oh, costumes.
Every morning she had to get up in front of the whole house, dance around and strut like she was a whore, and sing this song. They call me Flamin' Jenny, cause I'm hot for many. I'm the hottest baby in the house.
I love that this guy remembers all the words now as like a grown adult that they would make this girl. He's like, that's how much she had to sing it, that this guy remembers all the words.
Yeah.
And when it comes to loving, I'm the human oven. I'm the hottest baby in the house.
That, I mean, that's just fucking over the top, dude.
Like I said, man, it's just a bunch of parasites just power tripping up. 9 times out of 10, the therapists aren't even actual therapists. They're social workers or scumbags with sociology degrees. A lot of the staff are fucking losers who decide to get philosophy degrees in college and take it out on, like, the kids they're in charge of.
Yeah, and then some of them are, like, the worst, the carny equivalent of, like, correctional officers and youth counselors and, like,
actual child molesters, like that.
Yeah,
like,
bingo.
Especially at Elevations, they force the, especially the girls, they force the kids, though, to perform sexual favors on staff, and in exchange they get, like, basic human rights, which they call privileges, like phone access, the right to speak more freely, whole nine yards.
It's demonic shit. Dude, listen to this shit. This one boggled my mind.
And so I was shot down. I was in Parsons Field. We had a morning meeting, and I said, I think that we should get a house dog. Elan 3 has a beautiful golden retriever, and wouldn't it be nice if we could get a dog, you know, for the house? Next thing I knew, I was getting a general meeting for suggesting that we should have a house dog, and it was determined that I should be the house dog. And I was not allowed to speak. I was only allowed to bark once for yes, bark twice for no. I had to walk around on fours. For my dinner, I was given a dog dish. Plus, I had to do tricks. They would teach me tricks, and I'd have to do these tricks on command.
What in the actual fuck?
I mean, a lot of abusive people tend to be sexual degenerates.
Yeah, that's like beyond a humiliation ritual there. That's...
Well, Well, I mean, it's also like with the girl that they made like be like the class whore. It's like, you know, like the staff were doing it to get their jollies.
Oh, yeah. Undoubtedly. And even if they weren't, it's the same result for the girl. So, yeah, it's just.
A chihuahua can mate with a bull mastiff.
A little more on costumes.
The costume would always suit the person who was put into it.
You know, me, my subject was terrible with the math. If you didn't do well in it, they make you wear this big dunce cap.
If their behavior is deemed infantile, they're made to wear diapers over their clothes and to carry rattles.
I don't know how I was being a baby, but I guess I was. You know, I had the bonnet and the big rattle.
Denise Hubbard, she has syphilis. And they made her wear tampons in her hair. I thought that was downright disgusting.
Why would they do that?
Because she has syphilis. That was their way of treating her.
What?
Yeah, I guarantee you a staff member gave her syphilis. Because it's like,
yeah,
they ain't letting the kids do nothing with each other. And you can't just fucking get syphilis by scraping your elbow or something.
Yeah, that's Tetris or tetanus or whatever. Dude, it's like, and it just keeps getting crazier. This is the corner.
It's exactly what it sounds like. Like when you're a child and mom and dad says, go sit and stand in the corner. You go stand in the corner, face against the wall. And you stand and you stand and you stand till you cannot stand. And then you sit.
But it was worse than that. For sure. It's not just like facing. It's not like 5 minute fucking like. Turn around, like, you're fucking in there forever. Didn't you talk about Donovan earlier? Dude, they shut him away for, like, I think, like, 4 months straight one time.
4 months straight of sitting in a room facing the corner of the room, staring at the wall, not allowed to talk.
Yeah.
I thought the silence bag for 1 hour on Fish Tank was a bit much, but this is fucking crazy. I mean, that's a lot of this is a fate worse than death, dude. Like, a lot of this shit would drive me.
Can you believe that the owner's son has the audacity to be suing people who speak out about, like, what went on there?
It's astonishing.
Like, yeah.
I've seen people that had been in the corner for 6 months.
Oh my God. I literally would stare at a spot on the wall until it would just like fuzz out on me.
You could count the holes in the wall, the nooks and cranny, the dots on the curtain.
You were eating standing there. You were sleeping in the corner. They would bring a mattress. You would sleep right there.
As soon as the sun came out, you'd go back and face the corner.
You're going to do that for week after week after week. Until you've been good for days, and then they decide they want to let you out.
Yo, I'd rather take an ass whooping than sit there. That's just my opinion, because, I mean, wow, that's torture.
I agree with this guy. I've not taken a full-blown ass whooping, but I would think I would rather take an ass whooping than do that for one day, let alone 4 months, 5 months.
Yeah, and like...
Fuck that.
In these places, you really... It really does come in handy to remember it's like just how fragile the human body is, and especially like the most powerful attack any person can do is actually biting someone. Like, it brings up like it really does just like reactivate like primal instincts of like fight or flight. Because I was a fighter, because it was like I'd play along here and there, but especially like when there's no food, it's like. Nah, it game's on. Like, fuck yourself. Kill yourself.
Yeah, it's
and then just being like, do something. And they, a lot of people that were with me in like the second one were like laughing and thought it was hilarious. With like, I'd stick up to like the shithead staff because the head staff liked me at the secondary program. And once my therapist there realized, okay. Jimmy's not lying. His home life really was like this growing up. And that's why he's sad and he really shouldn't be here. Like, that's when he was like, look, bro, I'm all on board for you. You should just get enough money to get the fuck out. Legally, I sadly can't help you with that. But yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there are good people that work at a lot of these things, but
yo, you want to know what's fucked up? One of the scumbags, his name was Shane, a really big nose faggot, with curly hair.
Banana nose motherfucker.
I don't think he was Jewish. I don't think he was Jewish. But no, so this dude used to be like a huge fucking cokehead. And that was like his main reason for taking his anger out on people. And I know that he actually left and went to Diamond Ranch, which is an even worse place. And it's just fitting because they also like diddle the kids there too. Like there was like one kid from Diamond Ranch there. And it's like this chick who was just missing all of her fucking hair. But like you could tell it was like ripped out.
Oh my God.
Like, it was just fucked. And she was like the most fucked up person there. In the secondary one.
Ripped out by her, I assume? Or by other people? Or who knows?
I mean, it could be herself. It could be other people. Like, I've seen a chick like her once. You know that lady who does the shush motion to the main character in Shutter Island? So you know that it's like, fuck.
It's hair like hers from... I haven't seen Shutter Island in a long
time. No, like the old lady who goes shush and like how she has like a few strands of hair here and there.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But like they're long.
Oh, no, like almost like Gollum from Lord of the Rings, Schmeagol.
Yes, okay. It was like that shit. I do know that like those who got that usually got some huge fucking issues. Well, yeah, like they're like actually cuckoo. But the fact that she was at Diamond Ranch is quite honestly what drove her to that, because that's obviously a common result. Is like people actually go insane at these places, just like the old sanatoriums and asylums that we're told are gone.
I can't even imagine, dude. I almost went insane just watching, you know, a couple, you know, 5 hours worth of documentaries on this stuff. I can't imagine day in, day out dealing with this. I would, if I did survive, I wouldn't come out sane on the other end of it. Do you know of anybody, any examples of anybody successfully escaping, or did they always get brought back or sent off to a worse place? Or,
well, I escaped. So here's the fucked up thing. So I was sent there as an adult. And by law, a spear was supposed to let me go, but they didn't. So a spear was shut down, but they're not closed. It's just that the Aspiro branch of things is closed. So like the fucking cunt therapist who was there, who knew I shouldn't have been there because essentially a 302 form was falsified by my mom. Because, you know, she was taking her anger out on me because, yeah, recent divorce, because turns out she was cheating on dad, whole nine yards. She has a habit of doing that. But anyway.
Wait a minute. So, what are you going to do?
Yeah. So, like, I can still get a fuck ton of money from them. It's just a matter of, like, finding a fucking prosecuting attorney. Because that's another thing. Like, even though this should be an open and shut case for a lot of people, it's really fucking hard to find attorneys for shit like this. Like, you'd think it would be a lot easier.
Right. It's like finding somebody to sue a pharmaceutical company. This is a multi-billion dollar industry.
So, yeah.
I mean, when it's $50,000, especially that was tuition money. I mean, that was like Harvard prices. Cause this was the 70s when it was $50,000 a year in tuition for Elon. But yeah, this is what happens when you, one of the guys ran away.
You were brought back and you were basically therapeutically killed. And you often had security precautions put on you that were unprecedented for any time in your stay.
When they caught this 15-year-old boy, he was put in a rabbit suit and leg shackles.
After I ran away, I mean, I already had no fucking shoelaces or anything anyway, so they got me down to a sandal alley, so I can only wear... Can only wear sandals, pocket LE, pockets out. 15-foot spread from windows and doors. A strength and a high strength. They gotta be with me at all times. And I'm in a pod, which is each tile is like a foot by one, alright? So I got 9. That was me. That was me for 9 fucking months. That's my pen. That's where I live. It's taped. Taped, outlined. If I went out of it, chief!
What does it do? Okay, it humiliates him and it restricts his movement.
That was Joe Ritchie, the owner of it, talking at the end there. Yeah, 9 months in nine square feet, confined to 9 square feet for 9 months.
And just like the owner just even admitted there, it's like, he even fucking admits, it's like, you know, yeah, this shit fucking happens. Yeah, I do this shit. It fucking works, when it clearly fucking doesn't. He's just talking out of his ass.
Yeah, it's humiliation. This is more extreme than the humiliation that the military classically does to people. Like, by a long shot. This is the owner. This is about Joe Ritchie here.
Duck in a raincoat is full of scandal. News Center's Sharon Randall tells us about it.
The book begins in Port Chester, New York, where Ritchie grew up, and takes the reader down the sometimes bumpy road of Ritchie's life. The opening of Elan, his lucrative drug treatment center, the mysterious fire that destroyed the clubhouse at Scarborough Downs, a failed run for the 1986 Democratic nomination for governor, and of course, the famous lawsuit against
Democrat. Yep. Good catch. Yeah. And then it's important to point out that when it says his drug treatment, it did start off as a drug treatment facility, but then they quickly realized how much money there was in minors and how much more they could get away with if the person was not a legal adult and they had been signed over custody. Or at least temporary custody, however that works.
Of course, the famous lawsuit against Key Bank.
You know, when you first meet Joe, and you're a street kid like me, and let's make no mistake, I grew up on the street. I hung out in Providence. I hung out in Cranston. And it was... Anyway, there were a lot of Italians, yada, yada, yada. So Joe, there's no mistaking who he is and what he is.
He was cool, he was confident.
He always had a lot of money.
He had a Rolls Royce.
He was eccentric.
He had a mink coat.
He was extremely grandiose.
If he walked in the room, you'd want to stand up to greet him.
He was the man.
He ruled everything.
And so he was Italian.
Key Bank had cut off Ritchie's line of credit because of rumors he had ties to organized crime. Ritchie sued, and a federal jury awarded him $15 million.
Okay. I think that's proof that you have ties to organized crime if you can buy off the entire fucking jury.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Well, in my simplicity, I looked up to that.
Joe was my idol. I wanted to be like Joe.
And he bought into me and I bought into him. You know, like he did with a lot of other people. Kind of took me under his wing. Buys you a lot of stuff. He bought me all my clothes. He bought me my first car. For Christ's sake, he owned the house I lived in. So I was bought and paid for pretty much.
He got his major judgment based on the fact that his civil rights were violated. Yet throughout the book, there are accounts of many times that other people's civil rights were violated by his treatment center for troubled adolescents. And that's part of the story that Curly contends the media missed.
You'd want to please him. Basically for your own survival.
He was mean.
He was paranoid.
You know, he'd make you feel like dirt.
He was very concerned about his own image and his importance. If you threatened his power, he could be quite unfair with the retaliation.
If he wants to act like a criminal, he'll be treated like a criminal. It's that basic.
I had no really... dealings of him, then a few times he ran them general meetings. And when he ran a general meeting, they stomped the shit out of you. You got the worst of the worst.
Duck in a Raincoat is packed with personal accounts of brutality and intimidation at Elan, Ritchie's drug treatment center for young people in Poland Spring. But a 1971 state investigation found no evidence to support such claims.
If Joe is so bad and so dirty, why hasn't anybody been able to make anything stick to him?
Because he's very good at what he does. What he does, according to Curly, is cover his tracks and dupe the media. He has money, which certainly makes people credible in the United States of America. But, you know, how he made that money, you know, is some of the things that are questioned in this book.
It's all money and power, man.
Yeah.
That guy sounds like a real shit fucker.
No, they all are. They fucking all are.
And going back to what we were talking about with these being just factories to churn out psychopaths, this clip kind of talks about how the whether intentional or not, the end result of these things is to train psychopaths to be better psychopaths. Like, it's going to break and damage your normal people, but for psychopaths in there, they thrive and rise to power, kind of like the Catholic Church, priests, or any other organization. The psychopaths in situations with in institutionalized abuse scenarios. The psychopaths always rise to the top and gain the most power.
There's evidence that sociopaths rise in these places very easily. There was a study done of using the Synanon kind of method on sociopaths, and they found that it made them worse. Because basically it told them that hurting people, which they enjoy doing, is good. So it basically trained people to be better sociopaths, which is kind of scary when you think about the kids that are sent to these places. And Ilan was definitely among the worst that I have heard of. I think the difference is the level of violence. Ilan explicitly used the ring.
The ring.
Mm-hmm.
Now this to me is where things cross into the realm of fish tank. This is, as soon as I saw this and the footage they have and them talking about it, I was like, this was season two of Fish Tank.
We have the ring, okay, which everybody misinterprets. It's not a boxing ring. It's a ring of human people.
Alon's boxing ring was used as a last resort therapeutic tool. I once heard a staff member refer to it as an exercise in futility, pretty much to prove that violence will get you nowhere.
The ring was used for bullies.
If you went in the ring, it's because you physically threatened somebody.
Any kind of violent action resulted in the ring.
It occurs within a general meeting. They have, let's say, 10 students, 15 students, form a circle.
You would literally form a human circle around someone.
And the bully is introduced as what he is. In this corner is the bully who's trying to turn this facility into a detention center.
I got put in the boxing ring a number of times.
I was in a ring for the good, fighting the perpetrator.
And in this corner is the house champion who's going to show him why it can't be done.
They would put you in the boxing ring with somebody who was sure to kick your ass.
You're supposed to be fighting for the house, truth, justice, the Elon way. You put a pair of gloves on, and the other person put a pair of gloves on.
The director goes, ding.
It made the best man win.
And you never won.
We never allowed the bully to win.
You might win one or two rounds.
No, I didn't even try.
I just went down my lid like this.
You might beat this person, you might beat that person, but they keep coming, they keep coming. They keep sending a fresh person.
And when that person got tired, they would send somebody else in.
You were boxing 6-7 fresh people.
So, like, if you actually fought, you'd really get beat up.
Yeah, well, it's sort of, you could say, a kill situation.
I'd always heard before I had seen one that the only people who get rings are those who actually are violent and lash out at others. But I saw people get rings who did nothing other than sit in the corner and refuse to respond. And they used the ring almost as if to try to shock them into responding, to wake them up.
Who is this?
This is Michael Skakel.
Did you want anyone at Elon to know you were related to the Kennedys?
Absolutely not. They gave him a general meeting. He was being confronted as to whether he murdered some girl, and he kept saying no, no, no. He was put in the ring. They broke his nose, and he kept saying no, 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 and then would get beat again until he submitted and said he didn't know if he had done it or not.
Now, obviously, that's a lot more intense and a lot less wholesome and all the comedy aspects taken out of Fish Tank. But I think it's undeniable that there was inspiration for Fish Tank drawn from this, that realization slowly more and more washed over me as I went down this rabbit hole with these documentaries. I was like, holy shit. Now that confession they got out of that kid, by the way, this is what happened.
It was the night before Halloween 27 years ago when 15-year-old Martha Moxley was found beaten to death outside her home in upscale Greenwich, Connecticut. Among the suspects, her next-door neighbor, Michael Skakel.
Michael Skakel.
Michael Skakel.
Michael Skakel.
A Kennedy cousin serving 20 years to life
for a murder that shocked the nation. Skakel was convicted in the 1975 murder of his 15-year-old neighbor in Greenwich.
It was at Elon, during group therapy, that Michael would allegedly confess to killing Martha Moxley.
We got way out of our purview there. Way out.
Yeah, no shit. That's... You can't That's like the Guantanamo Bay shit confessions we got, dude. You can't count that as a confession, but apparently they did.
Yeah, because, again, especially like all the do-gooder governors you see these days, like, they're all in bed with these places. They really are.
Like, and I'll skip the clip, but... Dude, yeah. That was the first time in my life where I was excited that Obama won, just so we didn't get Mitt Romney.
No, I mean, but that whole thing just feels like fucking set up, too. It's like, no one wanted Mitt Romney.
Yeah. Yeah. Dude's... That guy's an android. I'll skip the clip on it, but they did this stuff called electric sauce, which also felt pretty fish tanky to me, where they would take like mud and vomit and cigarette butts and make a big like soup out of it and dump it on students' heads as punishment.
Jesus Christ.
Just like nasty fucking shit, dude. And then there was this also.
So some kid that was my SP and Claire walked me up to Elan 7, which wasn't far. But as I'm walking up there, I'm hearing like screaming.
So I walked in the door and the first thing they told me.
I'm sorry, I should have set this up better. This is their descriptions of when they were kids first arriving to Elan.
So I walked in the door. And the first thing they told me was, you get to leave when you change.
So I get in Elan and I'm looking around in Elan 7 and I'm like, okay, this kid is scrubbing the corner. This kid is wearing a fucking piece of poster board around their neck. This kid is in the corner.
I see him in there. I want to scream
I've never seen anything like that in my life.
Stand right there!
I just remember looking around, seeing people with signs and shaved heads and somebody wearing like a clown outfit.
I thought everybody was out of their minds.
Shaved heads.
I was brought in during lunchtime and I sat down at the table and immediately I turned to the girl next to me. I'm like, this shit's fucking crazy. Like, where am I?
Where the fuck am I?
And apparently she was a non-strength. Immediately I got pulled into another room and I got dealt with.
So I started crying, like profusely crying, threw a tantrum. I was like, I'm not staying here. I was like, I don't want to be here. Like, you made a mistake. Like, this is not me. I don't know what the fuck is going on, but y'all are fucking crazy.
I was almost begging to go back to the detention center.
It was surreal, to say the least. Like, it was unreal.
It was as if we were in a parallel universe. And for some reason, the kids were all acting like they liked it. Very bizarre.
Some of these kids were here like the better part of a decade.
Yeah, they keep... there's a lot of places that will actually just keep kids there for life. Like, there's a whole fucking island that's one of these programs out in Hawaii. It's called Nature Quest, I think. And yeah, like...
Oh my God, they even make it sound fun.
Yeah, no. And it's like, it's whole private island shit. It might be... It is one of the private islands on Hawaii. It's just an entire program, and if the kids never quote unquote change, they just stay there and they're never allowed to leave.
Jesus.
Like, ever. But yeah, that's something that you can use to roast Hawaii now.
Yeah, I was thinking about calling up one of these places, but the further I got down into this research, I was like, there's no way I can make this funny. This is just fucked up. I'm not going to call these places and crank them. These are fucked up. These are fucked up institutions, man.
I mean, you can always just call them and, like, I don't know, just to get, like, the fucking dirt because they're fucking arrogant.
Pretend. Play the part. Yeah, I guess, yeah, do some kind of, is Tennessee's a single consent recording, single party consent state. So I could just call them and, yeah, just record conversations, see if I get any admissions from anybody. That'd be fun. We could do that one day.
Yeah. Let me think.
Yeah, man, I have more on that, but I think people get the idea. Just some insane, fucking shit.
Yeah.
Absolutely just. I don't even, like, at a certain point, I just don't even know what to say about it. Because it's something that I have never experienced and can't relate to. Like the closest I would ever experience is if my fish tank audition didn't get thrown out. That's the closest I would have ever come to experiencing anything fucking like this.
Oh, Jesus.
And it does give context to the Morse code message that had the coordinates to that asylum in London that was in the attic before the attic cam went live. It's just I get the humor of what they were doing, and obviously it's not
so apparently, this is,
but it's still like it's shocking to me how much they based their technique on this.
So apparently that was because of me figuring out that we were all fans, and like, yeah,
the Morse code thing was.
Well, no. So, like, they apparently had to completely change the story. That's what a lot of haters have bitched to me about. Is like, oh yeah, you ruined the whole original story. It's like, I didn't fucking know there was an original story, bro.
Yeah, I remember what ended up being the four-letter code on the Goon Cave door.
NICR.
Yeah, that's what. Yeah, that's. And like, I should have known.
What was it? The coach said, "There's no N," so I just never guessed N. And
it's yeah,
like, looking back, it's like, God damn it,
dude! That was so entertaining when you were just walking around trying to figure out all the clues, and you got Brian and Cole involved. Cole, there's just JC, there's so many good names.
Tell me.
Yeah. But yeah, that their idea of the initiative in the attic was really I mean, some of the stuff they did, especially with like when they had TJ kick Taylor off the show and then fucking with you with the code words and all that, some of that was, it was funny, but it was cruel. But I like the idea of the, in general, of the mind games in the attic with the initiative group. That was there's a lot of potential there for some really cool stuff.
But yeah, like, someone did convince them after the codes that I was like working for 4chan, and that, I will admit, no offense to him, but that does drive me cuckoo, because it's like, bro, why the fuck would I? I'm shy in general and I'm hyper paranoid. Do you really think I'd be working with a bunch of random 4chan anons I don't know and will never know in my life?
Yeah,
good lord.
Those guys are too smart and autistic for me to ever get involved with them. The 4chan people, I'm too scared of them. They could destroy me.
It's just too unpredictable, really.
Yeah, they could destroy me.
It's basic stranger danger, you know? It's like,
I don't want to be the next Shia LaBeouf. Put it that way. They destroyed that guy. They broke him.
I mean, if anything, he destroyed himself. Like,
well, he was asking for it, yeah.
Yeah. Like, good lord. Ugh.
Well, man, I don't know. Do you have any thoughts? On, we're getting close to time here. And obviously,
I am thinking, honestly, and like, I am down for it. Monday or Tuesday, would you be able to do another one? Because we could just continue where we left off.
Oh, yeah. Week. I mean, yeah, potentially. Yeah. If work allows, yeah. Let me get back to you on that.
Oh, I bet. And obviously, like, I'd love to reschedule, certainly for the month of May. And just so, like, just because it's like, there's a lot that we didn't talk about. That was my bad. I'm sorry for, like, having to run around and do all those errands.
Oh, you're good. It's, and I bombarded day. You with a shit ton of clips because I just wanted to get through the crazy ones.
Nah, bro, you're good. Like, just because at the end of the day, it's like, this is going to sound gay as shit. Because, like, this phrase has just been done to death to where no matter how you try to phrase it, it just sounds so fucking disingenuous. But it's like, motherfuckers really gotta fucking understand, like, these places fucking exist. And let me tell you, what you want to see, like, a fucking serial killer factory, like, these places are it. These places are it.
Gay!
Sorry, you said it was gonna sound gay. It didn't sound that gay.
Well, it's just because, like, you've seen all the fucking do-gooders these days, and, like, they, anytime you try to bring any awareness to actual fucked up shit, it just looks gay now because so many people have just done it and it's been nothing.
I know people, close people in my life that will bitch and complain all day. Going back to RFK Jr., I said, well, why, they don't cite any good reasons, and there are some to not support him. They say, well, he's against transgender females in sports. And I'm like, okay, well, is that really who you're, is that like your most important thing in issues? Like, you're such a do-gooder that you don't care about children getting turned into hamburger meat overseas. You care more about a dude with a dick playing in sports. And that's because that makes you feel good.
Yeah. And it's just like the pettiest shit. It's also that way. Like, I shit you not. It's like, they only support this shit so they can kind of justify their own shitty actions and behaviors in life. It's like a pseudo partner type system.
Yep. That's exactly it. People are afraid of whether it's a it's like people that are hardcore atheists. I'm a little bit suspect of, like, agnostic. Oh, like, yeah, I could even fall into the agnostic camp. But if you're a hardcore angry atheist, then it makes me think that you have something in you have some skeletons in your closet that make you worried about what's going to happen to you when you die.
For me, it's like you can always test them where it's like, all right, and then just ask them their opinions on any other religion other than Christianity, and I guarantee you they'll have surprisingly zero criticisms. For fuck's sake, every religion has its own criticisms, but it'll just go to show you that, like, they don't really care about what they preach. It's just an edgy title they give themselves. They really just hate Christianity, and they're too fucking stupid to realize Baptists, Evangelists, Calvinists, fucking Lutherans, certainly Catholics, hell shit, Catholicism and Christianity are kind of like two different things. Catholicism is more so a result of Emperor Constantine, when you really think about it. Like, it's just Constantine's form of Christianity carried on. So, if anything, that's more accurate to just Romanism, if for lack of a better term.
I always say but there's something suspicious about them picking 66 books to be in the Bible. A little Satan-y.
Good point. The Orthodox Christians seem to be pretty chill. I gotta look it up. I've always been curious why they have so many skeletons in the churches. It looks cool.
The Righteous, Pfeiffer and I did a whole episode on mega churches and all the scandals and the creepy shit going on there. And just to sum it up, The Righteous Gemstones is a documentary with the corruption and the all the shit that goes on there.
No doubt. And like Pope Francis refusing to like oust the pedos of the Catholic Church and said, insisting that no one else like ever go to the media about like popes being pedophiles and the church doing nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man. Well, dude, I don't want to keep you up from hold you up for your game time and streams and all that. But dude, thanks. Yes, we'll definitely do this again soon because I'm sure there's a lot more to go into. And there's limitless things. I'm down for anything. This show's anything we want to make it. So it's a blank canvas on shitmyass.com.
I do sincerely love being on here. Like, thank you so much again. And I'm so sorry for being late.
It's all good. Like, I'd be late to my own funeral, as they say. But dude, give me Pingus Bomb on YouTube, Downfall on Instagram with underscores in between each letter of the word fall, and then Poot Whittles on Twitter. Is there anything else I'm missing?
No, you got it all. Anyway, God bless.
Love you, Jimmy. No homo.
Love you too, bro. No homo. Peace, bro.
And for everybody listening out there, thanks for listening. I have some boosts. I forgot. I meant to do that earlier. Thank people for some boosts. Chad F. been coming in big time. Chad F. been coming in big time. Streaming sats. I know there's been other people, but my Albion, my Saturn won't let me read all of it. It won't show up for all of it for some reason. But Chad F's been boosting, streaming sets. We got Mary Kay Ultra boosting in. Mary Kay Ultra boosting in 4,950 sats. 5,000 sats. says, didn't the sound of gay. Bunch of stuff coming in from the Waiting on Alex album. Still can't figure out who that $100 donor was for last show. Hit me up if you, if that was you. I'd like to boost you emotionally. And 1,000 sats from Booberry as well, I believe, for that song coming in through Homegrown Hits. More from Chad F. Chad F being a real champ here. 3 pages of Chad F. I think that catches us up. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Jimmy. And it sounds like we'll do another one of these soon. Fish Tank Season 2.5 coming up. This is the place. ShipMyF.com.
Just to say this first, so much stuff that you could never imagine, that you couldn't line it up in your brain, happened so fast.
Everybody was genuinely scared of what the next 10 minutes would bring.
You know, you can go from the electric sauce to the rings to the spanking to the GMs where they're slamming you up against the wall and then the haircuts.
And you never knew who it was going to happen to. It could be you.
And it was going to happen to you. There was no way to prevent it. You could be as good as possible and then they would deal with you for being a goody two-shoes.
Just constant violence is the way I look back at it.
General fucking meeting!
You can't get no lower than watching a person. Snot's coming out of your nose.
Stand right there!
People were yelled at right out in the open, right where they stood.
They're throwing up.
70% of my time I was being yelled at.
They're pissing shit on themselves.
You were basically therapeutically killed.
They're bleeding from the mouth.
It was a fucking nightmare.
Then you take the person, they throw that stinking that nasty ass electric sauce on them.
They put cigarette butts in it, leftover
God
food.
God almighty, I watched people go into the toilet one time and pull out water from the toilet.
And they roll them around in there.
They would dump my food on me.
Pick the person up.
Thrown at me.
Slam them up against the wall.
Throw somebody against one wall.
And they would just kick your ass.
Run over and slam them against this wall. Blood everywhere. All the while screaming at them.
And the only sound that you
could
hear
was slam them against this wall.
Screaming for his life.
ShitMyAss.com. ShitMyAss.com. ShitMyAss.com.
ShitMyAss.com.
ShitMyAss.com.
What the hell is ShitMyAss.com?
Oh, God. Well, dummies, you just wasted another
amount of your non-precious time listening to Abs in a Six-Pack. When are you going to stop? You know, there's very few of you. If this is like a hands-on-a-hard-body thing of trying to figure out who'll be the last person actually listening to this show, it's a lose-lose proposition. By the way, he asked me to do this. The head moron who makes the show. Ha! The secret is, I think he's the biggest moron of all. It would indicate that you're a bigger moron for listening to his show. However, I think somehow that's not true. He actually is a bigger moron than the rest of you. Anyway, go outside. Read a book. Ride a bike. Take a walk. Go walk a dog. Go kiss somebody. Whatever there is, I can think of 1 million things to do better than listen to this dumb, crummy show. Abs in a Six-Pack. Well, I bet for most of you, you're half right. This is Master Shake. Do something with your lives.